This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, happy Festivus, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah. Let me do it backwards. Happy Kwanzaa, whatever it is. We are there, man. We are there. The guest in this hour of the show, George Kennedy III. George Kennedy is the co-founder of CarTender.com and vice president of the New England Motor Press Association. He contributes to U.S. News and World Report, Car Gurus, Forbes on Wheels, and right here on The Drive. George, he posted a picture, and I told him, I said, man, you're looking good, George. You look like 10 years younger than you were 10 years ago when I first met you. And I said, yeah, you look like a middle-aged drunk before. Now you look like a nice young man. So congratulations, George.
I will take compliments in any form that they come in, including that one.
I mean, your skin used to look like leathery old guy that's been smoking for 40 years, and you're not even 40 years old. I mean, your eyes were droopy, and you had bags under your eyes. Probably how you'll look after this weekend, but...
Well, yeah, we'll see. But every time that you would see me in person, we'd be like in the desert on a drive event. So like, you know, the dry... Air.
Yeah. It's a great excuse. Great excuse. So George and I were talking in a commercial break there before the hour started, and he says, why don't we talk about some of my favorite cars of the year? And I thought, you know what, as we roll up the year here, that's actually a good idea. I might do that with Lauren, too, who's coming up next. So then, in that case, where do we start? Because I know you got a little test drive with a BMW also, but what was your, well, one or two or three of your faves for the year?
Yeah, so I didn't mean to do this, but the way I arranged them is almost in chronological. So going the farthest back, I drove early in the year the Cadillac Escalade V.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's not to love so, there, you know, for 100 and what, 20,000 bucks or something?
150, I think.
Okay, well, there you go.
But
that's what I'm saying.
With that, you get the Escalade. You get a supercharged V8 that makes 682 horsepower. And jeez, there aren't a whole lot of three-row SUVs with gobbles of cargo space and really nice amenities that can do 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds.
Yeah, no, that is, you know, if you've got enough money, what do they say, the thickness of your wallet is directly proportionate to how badly you want it. In other words, if you can afford it, then yeah, baby, but that's just a giant amount of money. I have a friend who bought, you're talking about your BMW test drive, he bought an M8. We were just talking about this.
Ooh.
$150,000. And one of my buddies says, he goes into the garage, he goes, I can't believe this car's in my garage. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe you're making that payment. You could be buying a rental house or something, you know. But that's, listen, he doesn't have the money, so he's got to make the payments. Listen, and if you want to work hard, you can have whatever you want in life. But sometimes people put the cart before the horse, if you know what I'm saying. But
well, think about what you get for it, though, because, yes, you have the performance that we touched on.
Right.
But if this was, you know, 15 year ago, Escalade, you'd be like, okay, this thing's just a hot rod, right? Because that, you know, the
that is a hot rod.
Right there, but the Escalade has come a long way. I mean, it's refined inside. They have fantastic technology with that massive, you know, curved touchscreen setup. You have Super Cruise, which is like one of those few semi-autonomous driving systems that like I can really get behind because it's kind of really simple to work with. And then just the overall refinement is terrific. So you're getting a lot for that price. You have like 16 speaker stereo, just a tons of stuff going on. Sorry, 36 speaker stereo. Excuse me.
Oh yeah. So,
but yeah, there's just a lot, and it's just a fantastic vehicle. And now you're adding this additional capability of being able to hit the loud pedal and go fast.
Yeah, the loud pedal. You know, it's funny. I mean, where do they put all these speakers? What do you do with all these speakers? 36 speakers. Come on. You know what I mean?
It's a big car.
Yeah, but I don't need one pointing up my rear end, you know? It's
they are like in the headrest and
yeah, of course they are.
That. So yeah, it's an immersive experience. I remember being very struck by the car being very quiet, like very hushed from the ride quality to the however many laminate glass, just a very hushed cabin. And then you've got the stereo, so it just comes in super clear without those outside noises.
We're talking about George Kennedy III's faves for the year, Escalade V. Oh, if you got the money, why not? We'll take a break and find out what else he loved this year. It is The Drive. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners. 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are, number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world. Cars, they're changing. You better enjoy them before they turn into whatever Elon Musk is making. I'm sorry. Oh, George, I get in trouble with that. You know, I actually like Elon Musk. He entertains me to no end. I like what he did buying Twitter, so we had our freedom of speech back, and now he's got this X, right? I like him. I'm not a big fan of electric cars and the whole having it shoved down our throat kind of a thing. And I think the automakers are finally starting to go, all right. We'll continue making internal combustion engines, and keep offering you, the consumers, whatever you want. You want some diesel, you want some, electric, you want some gas, you want, what is the other one? Propane, whatever, natural gas, propane. I had a truck one time that had a huge propane bottle in the back and it ran on propane. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not a big fan of electric cars. I hope your next car that you loved is not going to be an electric car. I just don't love them. That's all there is to it.
I mean, for my part, if it revs your engine or motor or transistor or whatever, you know, drive whatever you want. But I think the point is the freedom to drive whatever you want.
Correct.
If you want an electric car, fine. If you want a plug-in hybrid, fine. Like, I think at the end of the day, we want options until we really know where the dust settles on everything. It is funny that you pointed out, you know, with Elon, he's such a firebrand or a lightning rod, and yet his vehicles are kind of like just the anonymous, if you ask me now, like, just the rolling appliance. It's a consumer appliance. It's like a rolling flat screen TV.
Right. They should actually be all white, like refrigerator.
And a lot of them are. I mean, you go to the airport and go to the motorcade and you'll probably see that. The nice thing, though, is the next vehicle we're going to talk about is decidedly not one of those.
Okay, good.
One of my other favorite four, I guess, if you will, is the Nissan Z.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we'll talk about the M2 in a little bit. And what the Nissan Z gets right is not for what it is, but what it isn't. And I think with so many, there's a lot of nostalgia right now around cars like the Supra and the 300ZX and the Mitsubishi 3000 GT, like these 90s cars. But people forget that if you actually drove a unmodified version of one, they're kind of comfortable cars that can also be fun to drive. You know, they've been modified so heavily that I think people think that they are this hardcore vehicle. And like, look at the M2. The M2 and the BMW M vehicles are very focused, sort of going after the Porsche, you know, GT3 RS clientele in a way, in terms of aesthetic feeling. But the Z it understands that it's like a two-seat Grand Tourer. It's kind of like compliant. It's sort of comfortable to drive when you're just cruising along. And then, you know, the second that you step on it, it comes to life. It's playful. Like, Nissan got this right in that a car that can dive through corners well doesn't have to be, you know, rattle out your fillings. Like the way the Mazda Miata is super fun, but very light on its feet.
Right, right. Well, it's funny you mentioned Mazda because their slogan used to be zoom, zoom. And it sounds like Nissan Z took the zoom, zoom from Mazda and put it into this Z. Because that, to me, you know, zoom, zoom is great, but some of these cars are literally like, you know, you can't live with that. You can go to the racetrack every now and then and do it, but you got to be able to live with your car also, you know, the other 7 days a week, 6 days a week, whatever it is that you're not out having fun with it. You still have to be able to drive the darn thing and live with it.
And I think it's listening to the right people. Like, you asked me at 23 what I want to drive, and I would tell you, like, a 911 with the interior stripped out on, like, a motorsport suspension setup.
Right.
And it would be wildly uncomfortable. I would never get a date. but I'd be manifesting my passion for the automotive. As you get older and, you know, things start falling apart, you're just like, I want a car that I can have fun in, but is also going to be comfortable if I have to drive 2.5 hours in it.
Yeah, right. Or 4 hours or 8 hours or something like that. I drove when
exactly.
I got my Viper. I bought a Viper ACR. I bought it at Tomball, Texas. And I had to drive all across the United States to get back to Oregon. And let me tell you something. I should have gone, you know, to like the hospital for 3 days afterwards because I was broke. I was broken, man. It wasn't a good experience. All right, let's take a break.
Some of these cars will punish you for a shorter drive. Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. It was a punishment. Even though I could tell you I had fun all the way, when I got home, I felt it. You shouldn't be punished by your car. All right, we're talking to George Kennedy. He's been talking about some of his favorite cars. I'll give him one more, and then he's got to give me 5 minutes on this test drive he did. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This message comes to you from our sponsor, Subaru, celebrating the 16th annual Subaru Share the Love event, going on now through January 2nd. For every new Subaru purchased or leased during the event, Subaru will donate a minimum of $300 to charities like the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. To learn more, go to Subaru.com/share. Subaru, more than a car company.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I enjoy doing this show. I've been doing it now. This is my 32nd year of test driving cars. The question is George Kennedy even 32 years old? I think you're over that, aren't you? How old are you?
I'm almost 40.
Oh, yeah. Man, you are really looking good in that picture then. I know, he posts a picture from when he was like 23 years old, as if anybody believes that. Anyway, all right, so you've been talking about a few cars that wrapping up the year for 2023 that you drove. You're actually looking at the far end of the alphabet. You got a Escalade V and then a Nissan Z. Anything that doesn't have like one of the last five letters of the alphabet?
Well, and those are also specialty vehicles. In a matter of speaking, the next one, the last of the, you know, my favorite three is the 2024 Kia Seltos.
What?
And I mean,
really?
Look, well, we got to think about what folks are out there shopping for,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And if it's a affordable crossover where you want to get like the most for your money and you want it to be reliable.
You mean something you would actually buy because that's what you could actually afford versus these.
That's exactly, you know. Yeah. That's exactly what I was looking for in my last pick. It was either that or the Subaru Crosstrek. And the big difference here is that the Seltos has more usable cabin space. It's got some great technology. It also has more torque in the new turbocharged model. So it's got some punch. It's a great value. It's got a ton of safety features.
Well, value, how much money?
Yeah, it starts at $24,000.
There you go. See, it's right? It's affordable.
And so loaded up for probably around $29,000. I mean, that's an incredible value.
Okay, now
and it comes standard with all-wheel drive too.
Well, that's good. Now, so you did $150,000. We didn't talk about the Z. How much money was that Nissan Z? We're talking 50.
The Z is closer. Starts at closer to 30, and that's the wonderful thing too.
Oh, that's It starts closer to 30, but I guarantee you can push it up closer to 50 if you wanted to. You know, that's just how it is with these cars these days, right?
Right. And you know what? I might be mistaken because maybe that was the previous year. I think now it's gone up to like 40. And
I was going to say, if that's
performance
true.
For 50.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. And then the Nismo is coming out and that'll be 65.
See? That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Now.
But at 40, that's still a good deal.
I'm not going to argue that point. That's, I thought, man, for 30, I might even buy one. Okay. So BMW M2, a car that is perhaps for you in near Boston there with the weather you're having even today, not really the right car for this time of year. I could see the Seltos, all-wheel drive, but here you're driving an M2. Can you even put that power to the ground out there in the weather?
So, yeah, it's got, I believe, summer tires on it.
The wrong
tires.
It's still
a great car. It's a fun car. And here's the thing, too, is, you know, these traction control systems are so good now that, yes, when I go out of my driveway and turn, and I give it, like, just a little extra juice, yeah, it'll spin the tires, and then it corrects immediately. And I'm also taking power back immediately. I'm not peeling out looking for a tree.
Right.
but it's such a fun car, and this does speak to what I was saying about the Z, whereas, like, the Z is comfortable, and you can kind of kick your heels into it. This thing lets you know that it is a focused performance machine at all times.
Well, and as it should be, it has the letter M. And BMW's M used to really mean something. And for a little while there, I feel like they degraded it by making the M Sport and the M Appearance Package. And they should not do that. I get it that people cannot afford it, but it's kind of like a poser, a car that looks like a performance car, but then it's like the Mustang when they put a four-cylinder in it. It was like, oh, four cylinders. But that little four-cylinder could really do the job, believe it or not, 300 horsepower. But it's because they had, you know, 700 horsepower or 750 or whatever it is out of the V8 that when you put a four-cylinder in there and the car looks identical, you know, I personally, it rubs on me a little bit wrong, but I don't care. I have a BMW right now that's got an M package, and I kind of like it. I got it for my nephew, and it's a 6-speed manual transmission. What transmission did you have in this M2?
So this came with the optional 8-speed with the paddle shifters. It does come standard with the 6-speed, which is a really good point because, as you say, that M badging or M treatment has been done to a lot of vehicles in the lineup. And this car, more than the M5, more than the M3, is the perfect distillation of what M should represent. It is small, it's nimble, it's athletic, it's got 450 horsepower from a twin turbo inline six, and it's just absolutely playful. And
how much money?
It's a little stiff.
How much money?
That's 63, I believe, before options.
Oh my gosh. Well,
yeah, and that's the most affordable M car, I believe.
All right, George, you have a great Festivus with the rest of us. It is Festivus season this season. I'm playing this song for you. It is Man in the Mirror because I know the photograph that you posted was not you today because your skin is leathery. You got bags under your eyes. Your nose is a little red like Santa, but you haven't been outside. You've been drinking all the beer that all your buddies want you to drink. You got that old man drunk look to you, and you post some nice looking picture. I don't know where that picture came from, George. That is false advertising. He's trying to get himself a woman, you guys. Don't believe
New
the photo.
New year, new me, baby.
You're a good man. You take all my flack and just keep smiling. George Kennedy, everybody. Thank you, George. Have a happy holidays.
You too. Pleasure as always.
All right. We'll take a little break and talk to another withered person by test driving cars for the year. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, this song is called You Got Me Under Pressure from ZZ Top. You got me under pressure. Oh, boy. And there's a person on the line right now who is under a lot of pressure because, of course, she just got off the news with, who are you on? With Charles Payne or somebody on Fox?
Yes, Fox Business, making money, yes.
Lauren Fix, publisher of Car Coach. Car Coach Reports on the web.com, of course. So here's what I want to talk to you about, okay? Because first of all, there's a lot going on with the electric car mandates that have been now some of the automakers are snubbing their noses at them. And I know you have mentioned German car makers, General Motors, Ford Motor Company, Toyota. I think there's a lot of them that are starting to go, you know what? People just don't really want to buy these electric cars. Who was it? Somebody was saying to me last night. I was talking to you remember Dan Sandberg? He was the president of Brembo Brakes. Dan's a friend of mine, and he's in Michigan. He's going to start doing some news stuff because he's got his finger on the pulse over there in Detroit. He was talking about how he goes, have you even seen any commercials from General Motors for electric cars? I said, I think I might have saw one. He goes, yeah, they don't even like it. And anyway, it was this big conversation. So what do you got? I know you've got a lot on your plate. You're reporting to all these different TV networks and stations. Do you know anything about the German car makers ending their electric car mandate? I heard a little rumor.
I do. It's actually the country of Germany.
Ah.
So isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So this is what's really interesting. If we go back in time, Angela Merkel, who was the prime minister of their country, decides that we want to follow all this electric vehicle mandates. We're going to follow the Green New Deal, blah, 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 blah. Well, now, and this is sudden, December 13th, Wednesday, the German leaders announced, end of today, we're done. Like, that's it. I mean, wow. I mean, talk about someone who's staying at the dealership going, excuse me? You were all in on this. Now suddenly you're pulling the plug and people are thinking, I'm not going to buy this car if I don't get my government subsidy. So what they were doing is they were supplementing 6,000 euros, which is about $6,555 US dollars toward each electric car to try and promote the sales. And that's interesting because in the end of all this, when this happened, this hit the news hard and fast. I mean, people were flipping out. It was all over the international news, which I follow. But this is what's interesting. One of the foremost proponents for the e-mobility program in Germany has now fully backtracked. This guy was like, all in, if we don't do EVs, you're terrible, you're a bad person, blah, blah, everything we've all heard. So his name is Professor Ferdinand Dudenhofer.
Oh!
He is German's, I don't make him up. D-U-D-E-N-H-O-F-F-E-R.
Oh, Mr. Dudenhofer.
Like the Dudenhofer, yeah. He's Germany's leading automotive analyst. He just posted on LinkedIn, in quote, I love this, that it's so funny. This is it for the EV in Germany. So they're saying they're done. Good if you haven't written off the combustion engine yet. I was entirely wrong on the fatherland.
Wow. Dude.
Talk about eating crow. That's a huge crow he ate. That's like a big blackbird.
That's like that guy just dropped a load of Dudenhofer. Wow, that's
a mic drop. Yeah, so this is really wild. So Germany has killed its subsidy it's already gone now, because the government's budget rules were unconstitutional for the German Supreme Court, and they needed to cut the subsidies because they were out of the budget. They were done. They had no money.
Wow.
This is stupid, amongst everything else. You know, let's go green. And a friend of mine, Jens Meiner, gave me some additional information on this. He's on the German Car of the Year. He's also past president of the World Car of the Year Awards. Mm. So he lives in Germany. He also lives in the U.S. So he's really great to talk to because you get, like, an interesting balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was telling me that when Angela Merkel proclaimed her support for this, all the German brands were forced to comply. And if not, there was this huge fine. And they had to reduce all their environmental impact and this and that. So now, here's the interesting. This is what Jens told me last night. EV sales have been a massive disappointment in Europe, and it seems to be that the pundits and the politicians are moving away from it as fast as they can. Because I'm not surprised, considering it's an inferior product. There you go.
So let me just get the spelling. Is it Hopper with a P or Hoffer with a F? Or how?
His name is Ferdinand, like in Porsche.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the last name is Dude, D-U-D-E.
Yeah.
N-H-O-F-F-E-R.
Oh, it's Hoffer. Okay, got you. Dudenhofer.
Dudenhofer.
You know what? But you got to hand it to the guy, because nobody does that anymore. Nobody says, I was wrong. You know?
I know. I got to give the guy credit.
You got to give him credit for that. And this is huge news. And the crazy thing is, well, I don't know. Have you talked about it on Fox or NBC or ABC or any of the Weather Channel anywhere yet?
I've mentioned it on Fox Business today.
Okay. Well, so,
but,
I mean,
yeah, so you, this would is
think,
wild.
You would think that would have been huge news. And,
they bury that.
Yeah.
That's buried.
Yeah. Wow.
No. These are the stories that... Every week I get a list from a friend of mine who gives me the 10 news stories you never heard about.
Wow.
I'm like,
right?
This is going to be one of them.
You know, don't we all wish that our, I use this word very lightly, leaders of industry, leaders of our country or whatever, would admit every now and then.
Industry too. Our industry as well.
Yes, all right. Well, and this guy just did. Dudenhofer, he just did. Because it doesn't have, he's setting a very important precedent of admitting that you've made a mistake. And then, of course, look, I thought it was just the German car makers. It's the whole country. So good for him and good for them. Wish America was more like that with this kind of garbage.
We'll be last. And Canada just announced that by 2035, they're going to be all electric.
Oh, it's
that'd
a
be lovely.
Bunch of garbage.
If you've ever been to Northern Canada, which I have.
I don't think they will. You know what? I have a friend.
Your took us off and
exactly.
Your car won't run.
Exactly. I have a friend who lives in Canada. And he says to me, today's my birthday. You know what I hope? He goes, I hope both of us, because he's Canadian, both of us get new leadership come the new year. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, you know what? Please, God.
I think we are.
Yeah, I think we are, too. And I think Canadians need to do something about their president. That guy's a lunatic, unfortunately. And we got the lunatics running the asylum right now.
Don't get me going down that path.
No, I know.
I think he's the Cuban leader's son.
I know. He looks like him, even. All right, hang tight.
Well, his mother dated him, but that's a whole other story.
Oh.
But here's an interesting, continuing with the German thought process.
Well, hold on. Do it on the other side of the break. Do it on the other side of the break. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, take a break. Lauren Fix joining us. You can check out her website at carcoachreports.com. She's also got a YouTube channel. She makes YouTube videos that are like, you know, I don't know how she even has a life outside of all the stuff that she does. She's on the news, she's on television, radio, making videos. You're a wild woman. Thank you for all you do for us. So we're going to take a little break and be right back with more. Stay with us. The kind of thing that you must understand. I'll tell you one thing, you tell me, and then we walk away, maybe then shake hands.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary direct connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
All right, this is the most urgent music I could find. It's called Aces High by Iron Maiden. Lauren Fix joining us with lots of urgent Well, things you don't hear about in the mainstream news unless it comes out of her mouth usually, because she's unafraid to tell the truth about what's going on in our world. We just found out that Germany has decided to end the electric vehicle mandate garbage, and their guy that was in charge of e-mobility, Ferdinand Dudenhofer, says, "I was wrong." And I was like, wow. I love hearing people being honest like that, especially when they're wrong, because you know what? You don't hear it. It's like everybody's always right 100% of the time. Don't question. Don't question my authority. When these guys
blame someone else.
Or yes, when they admit they're wrong, they do humanity justice because they are not perfect and they are not infallible. All right, what else you got? You said there was more to the story.
All right. There's more to the story. So it looks like France is now restricting their electric vehicle subsidies as well.
Oh.
So they're lowering the dollar amount, and anything that's Chinese made, which includes Tesla, the Model 3, is no longer eligible for any of their electric vehicle mandates.
Ooh.
The Model Y, yeah, and the Model Y is still eligible because it's built in Berlin. But anything that's made in China, no go. So that cuts out BYD, SAIC, which goes by the name of MG, like the British car brand.
Right.
Chery and a bunch of the others. There's like 125 different Chinese brands, but any of them are not going to be eligible. So that's interesting. So how about here in the U.S.? Because I think that's what people that are listening to you are here in the U.S. and they're like, okay, well, what does that mean for us? Well, we're getting close to 2024. So took a closer look at the Infrastructure Act and what cars are covered for 2024 because all the rules change. And each year they keep increasing the quantity that has to be U.S. built, that has to have the batteries here in the U.S., that has to have all the materials from the U.S., which are like none. So what is eligible? Well, the Tesla Model 3, the regular Model 3, is no longer eligible as of 2024. So if you're thinking about a Tesla and you're listening to this before New Year's Eve, you better order one because otherwise you're not going to get one with the $7,500 tax credit. And I will also tell you, if you live in the state of California or the state of Illinois, you no longer have the tax credit because they ran out of money. So they're totally dead. So they're not getting anything from the state. So it just keeps getting better.
Oh,
the hits keep on coming.
Yeah.
So what vehicles are available? I figured I'd give you a list.
Okay.
So all the cool cars that we just saw, like the Volvo EX30, the BMW X5, the Genesis GV70 Electrified, all those vehicles, all the Audis, all the German cars, totally eliminated. No tax credit.
Wow.
None. There are 10 vehicles as of 2024 that are eligible as of this moment, and some of them aren't being made anymore. The Chevy Bolt EV, which they said they're going to end production and come back with something new, but there'll be a time where there won't be any. So whatever's on the lot, $26,000 car, that's the cheapest of the ones that are available. So you're thinking, I need something cheap for whatever reason, business reasons, personal reasons, and you want one, the Bolt is your only cheap one. Even though the Kona EV and all Mini E, none of them get the tax credit for next year. Other vehicles that get tax credit for 2024, Chevrolet Equinox, Ford F-150 Lightning, which they just cut the production in half because they've only sold 30,000 of them.
Yeah.
And the plant is prepared to build 125,000. So that's a major oopsie. The Tesla Model 3 Performance, that's only the more expensive one. The Chevrolet Silverado EV, which they're not going to make now until later in the year. The Tesla Model Y Performance only. Chrysler Pacifica minivan, a plug-in hybrid. The Chevrolet Blazer EV, which I just reviewed on my channel. The Cadillac Lyriq, which I have not seen any of them on the street.
I know.
And a Tesla Model X. That's it.
So, yeah. So
no others.
My friend who bought a, he bought an electric truck. What's the one? Rivian. He bought a Rivian. He loves it, loves it,
cool.
Loves it, right? I have not driven one yet, so I have no clue. He says, he goes, I get it. And he's a real muscle car guy. But he goes, I love the packaging of it. So I don't know. Maybe they did a really great job with the packaging.
They did. They really did.
Okay.
I reviewed the R1T and the R1F. T is the truck. S is the SUV. Really smart design, smart packaging, quick charging.
Well,
all that.
That'll make a big difference.
Where I live, no chargers.
There you go.
The infrastructure is not there. You're going to have the coolest vehicle, but if you can't charge it, what are we doing?
Yeah, he's got the same exact problem, by the way, where he lives and in Michigan. But he said that his friends, because he has friends in all the right places, if you know what I'm saying, working for General Motors, you know, and he could get some sort of a, I don't know, a friendly deal or whatever on a Lyriq. You just talked about Cadillac Lyriq.
Yeah.
He said, I have not seen a single commercial for Cadillac Lyriq. And I'm thinking,
I haven't either.
And I'm like, I don't know if I've seen one. Okay.
And we both live in states that are major EV pushers. So
and then he goes, I haven't seen one. He goes, I've seen pictures, I've seen videos online. So I think General Motors and Ford, I think they're backing way off and they're doing it quietly, you know, as quietly as they can anyway, because that's the way it
is. They're pushing way back.
Yeah.
Way back.
You were going to mention something, by the way, before this. We have about a minute. Can you give me a minute on the, you said that somebody wants feedback on the kill switch stuff and you made a video about it. What was that?
Yeah. So Section 24220 of the 2021 infrastructure bill, that one was 1,100 pages and they had to shove it through and no one read it.
Yeah.
Well, there's a section there about kill switches.
Right.
And now NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, says we need your feedback. So on my Car Coach Reports channel, if you look up the most recent kill switch video, I go over what they're looking for and also give you a link and email and everything. Because if you try and go through their website, they make it very complicated. So I went and found the guy's email. I found his phone number and his mailing address.
Ooh.
It's time to let him know, because they said, well, we know there'll be a lot of false positives where people that are totally sober will end up having their vehicles shut down. The problem is, if you're in kill switch jail, as I call it, how do you get out? There's no way. The police can't undo it. A repair shop can't do it.
Oh my God.
It has to be the computer on board to decide that whoever's behind the wheel is capable.
There you go.
This is a disaster waiting to happen. There's going to be a lot of people injured. This does not sound good.
Head over to Lauren Fix's Car Coach Reports YouTube channel. Watch that video if you're interested in that. There's a lot of great videos there. I'm envious, but that's why she's on the show, so I don't have to do the work. Good job, Lauren. We'll be right back. Stay with us. There's more.
Thanks, Ellen.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it's perfect Christmas music or Festivus or Hanukkah or, you know, ZZ Top is good for any time of the year. Happy holidays, Lauren Fix.
Thank you. Same to you and your listeners.
Yeah, that's right. Happy holidays, everybody. Lauren Fix is joining us, laurenfix.com. That is her website. You can find her YouTube channel. It's Car Coach Reports. And Twitter, X, Lauren Fix with an X. Lauren Fix, at Lauren Fix, that is. Lauren, so I was asking George before you, is there, you know, and you don't have to answer it right away, but is there one car that sticks out of all the things you've driven throughout this last year that you're like, I want to get in that again? And
there's a couple cars.
I'll tell you. Let me tell you which ones. What's his name? Yeah, George. What's his name? He liked the Escalade V, and he liked the Nissan Z. Those were two that were really he was really impressed by. So before you do that, let you ponder on that. Maybe you could give us a little window into 2024, just around the corner. What's kind of on the horizon for the consumers out there?
Be a lot of new cars. I mean, one of the things that Honda's coming out with the ZDX.
What is that?
It's a performance electric car.
Z is so we'll in Z is Z?
Z is in zebra. Yeah,
zebra. Z. ZBX.
ZDX-ray.
D. Oh my gosh. ZDX. Okay.
So that's a pretty cool piece. And then I got an early drive of the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. It is bigger. It is bolder. Completely different looking. Like, it'll blow your mind. If you look at it, you're like, wow, this is a Hyundai? Like it doesn't even belong. It's
you know
pretty
what?
Cool.
If I had to make a statement about who I think has done the best job in the last couple of years. It's got to be parent company Hyundai, you know, Hyundai Kia. So, and then they yep. have their luxury
and Genesis.
This brand came from kind of like, you know, it's a Korean car company, came out of nowhere with some crummy little cars, and then has literally just taken over the marketplace in many ways, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So kudos to them for that.
For sure.
You know, they're smart.
You know, it's one of those things that they've really just thought about, what are they doing wrong and what can we do better and do it at a better price? And they've really taken a chunk of the market.
Yeah, and then
it used to be like Audi set the bar.
Well,
I mean, if you said everyone used it as the, like, it's as good as an Audi,
yeah.
whatever.
Well, now to that point, didn't they get some Audi designers and some BMW engineers? And
yes,
you
they
know,
did.
Right?
They stole them, as far as I put it.
Yeah, it's very, very smart. So, yeah.
Yeah. So as far as vehicles I like, there's a couple good ones this year. You know, I know you and I both love the same car when it comes to the last call Demon 170.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and so my vehicle arrived.
Yes, and mine has not.
Days it was, oh, neither has Carl's. It doesn't make any sense.
I know. Well.
But for some reason, I got mine. I can't complain. So the vehicle shows up, and the guy says, listen, it needs 4 miles to be driven because I was going to put it away for the winter. He goes, you have to drive it 4 miles, and we can't let you take delivery. It's one of the requirements. I'm like, all right, fine. So this is a 1,025 horsepower car.
Right.
So I go, oh, yeah, I'll put the 4 miles on it. So the guy has to ride with me because he's got a computer in his lap, you know, making sure that everything works. Because they don't want to give you a vehicle like this and have a problem. Especially right. if it's going to sit all winter, you know, on a trickle charger, and I use stable and all that. So 4 miles I got to drive it. Let me tell you, have you ever taken a gigantic dog for a walk?
It pulled you all over the place, huh?
Right. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like you open the door and the thing just bolts.
Right.
This is what this wants. It's like a big dog waiting at the door for you to open it so it could take off like a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Just driving it in the normal mode, not even in a race mode. It was amazing.
Yeah.
The power that was coming out of this thing. I mean, you could feel the torque in the horsepower. It was freaking amazing.
So it's funny.
I got 4 more miles on my car, but it was awesome.
It's funny. I have a friend who just got his, and he's the same age as me. He's early 60s. And I got to tell you, if you could remember back to when you were, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old, and maybe you got your first Stingray or your first bicycle that was just cooler than heck, and you call your buddy yep. on the phone, of course, or you go over to his house, you're like, come here, look at my new bicycle, you know, my new Stingray. This guy mm-hmm. calls me up, and he had that same 10-year-old kid sound in his voice. And I tell you, that's worth $250,000 to some people right there. All right, Lauren, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, the car's not that expensive. But the other car that I drove that I really liked that was also cool, there were a couple cool pieces. One of them was the Raptor R.
Yep, you got 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Hurry up. Oh,
last one, the E-Ray. Very cool piece.
Oh,
if you want something that's
the Corvette.
That is an amazing product.
That
an
is
amazing
awesome.
Product. It was so much fun to drive.
Awesome. Lauren Fix, everybody. CarCoachReports.com. That's it. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy whatever else you celebrate. I'll be back. There's another
Christmas,
hour.
Christmas, Hanukkah, and New Year.
There you
That's
go.
It.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. This message comes to you from our sponsor, Subaru, celebrating the 16th annual Subaru Share the Love event, going on now through January 2nd. For every new Subaru purchased or leased during the event, Subaru will donate a minimum of $300 to charities like the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. To learn more, go to Subaru.com/share. Subaru, more than a car company.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, because I'm not a very intelligent person, I rely on artificial intelligence, and because my view of reality is often weird, I use augmented reality. And another guy that also is into this type of stuff is Carl Brower, but actually he's very intelligent because, you see, he's an automotive industry analyst. Forbes Auto's contributor, America, what is it, Car and Truck of the Year, North American, that's what it is, Car and Truck of the Year, juror and board member. He's also something to do with the, what is it, Carl, the World Car of the Year now thing? You're doing that, right?
Yep, World Car of the Year.
Yeah, yeah.
International.
Oh, don't get all puffed up over there, buddy. And also, he's an executive analyst for iccars.com. And what do you think about augmented reality there, Carl? Just curious.
Well, you know, I get a little worried when I hear the word augmented come out of somebody's mouth because you never know what's coming next.
Well,
there's all sorts of things people augment.
I know, but it's better that it comes out of their mouth than the other end. You know what I mean? Goodness gracious.
It's a little dicey when things start becoming augmented in various ways using various technologies. But no, I'm actually kind of a tech geek. So I like the idea of virtual reality. I've played around with VR stuff and I think it's unavoidable. We're going to get there. I get a little worried, truly, truly concerned when I think about artificial intelligence, because I think that, you know, you take augmented reality or virtual reality, you throw in some artificial intelligence and, you know, we really are looking at the Matrix here, you know?
Yeah, oh, totally.
You know, just all of us sitting around, you know, I mean, I've made jokes for decades now about how ever since I saw the Star Trek episode where they're all the disembodied brains in the test tubes, you know, that have to watch other people physically fight. That's the only way they get pleasure now because they evolved past their bodies.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, that doesn't actually seem like a science fiction thing anymore. It seems like kind of an inevitability and it's not necessarily one I look forward to, but I don't know if we're going to avoid it the way things are going.
Well, but the funniest part is I remember that episode and it seems like they were like the little old man down the street from you when you were a kid. And all it is, is like his shriveled up head inside of a glass globe, you know, and with barely any expression, you know. Oh, my gosh, that is funny. Well, so, you know, all of this stuff that is going on in the EV world that is trying its best to take over the car world. But the problem is what they don't know. It's kind of like China. The reason why China doesn't just take America is because they said because there's a gun behind every blade of grass, right? That's Americans. We like guns.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with the EV world. They're trying their best to take over the enthusiast car world, but there's a car enthusiast behind every one of those cars out there on the road. He may not be driving it right now, but he's got one either in his dreams or he's got one in his garage and or maybe his dream garage. You know what I mean? So it's not going to. I just don't see it. I don't think it's going to happen. Do you? I mean, where it's just going to be all electric cars at some point. I don't see it.
Well, there's a lot of questions to be answered. You know, there's a lot of people who still are questioning the you know, they call it, what is it? Wheel to well or whatever, you know, cradle to grave, whatever.
Yeah.
What is a Toyota Prius really less harmful to the planet than a Hummer, a GM Hummer? And that's from, I was a question being asked 15 years ago. Now, is a Tesla Model 3 really less destructive than, you know, a full-size Suburban SUV from cradle to grave? And everyone, you know, on the EV side immediately says, of course it is. And a lot of people who don't have the ulterior motive on the EV side say, you know, emissions from tailpipes are not the only thing that is involved in a car's emissions. And when you start chasing down rare earth metals and have to do all the mining involved to do that, you're tearing up a lot of the planet and you're expending a lot of energy every time you create a battery cell.
And isn't that called carbon footprint at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Right.
And what do you do with those things? Again, when a car is done, a traditional car at the end of its life, a huge percentage of that stuff can be recycled. Electric cars and those batteries, they're not as easy to repurpose at the end of their life.
That's right. I used to own wrecking yards. I don't know if you remember that. I love recycling. Man, I had an aluminum smelter, broken aluminum wheels, and, you know, all kinds of crazy things. People drop off their old lawn furniture, and I'd melt that stuff down and make big, giant 20-pound ingots. Oh, that was fun. We'll take a break. You got me going on recycling. You're listening to The Drive. Carl Brower will be right back. He's got some insights. We'll be right back.
Sneaking out the back, attention business owners. 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the clutter factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the death of the salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
Well, this is The Drive all across America. We're talking cars, electric cars, gasoline-powered cars, hydrogen power, diesel power, cars, trucks, SUVs, motorbikes, scooters, skateboards, anything with wheels, I guess. Carl Brower's here, iccars.com. We were talking about electric cars a lot in the last hour. And Carl, you have something going on here with the IC Cars Group, iccars.com. EV startups starting to die off a little bit. What's going on?
Yeah, well, it just is looking tough for a lot of these EV startups, these truck startups specifically, that were looking so promising not so long ago. Lordstown Motors was one of them. They actually had a car, or I should say a truck, in the running for North American Truck of the Year last October. I was driving one around in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And now it looks like they might go out of business because there's questions over whether they're going to be funded by who's going to back them, because they had possibly a deal going with Foxconn. As a lot of people know, they're the ones who do a lot of big things like make Apple iPhones and stuff. So Foxconn is a big, well-funded company. But now it's looking like that isn't going to happen, and the stock has fallen dramatically in the last few days and weeks, and it's just not looking good for them. And it's like, well, okay, they're like a one-off kind of weird startup that just didn't work. Well, okay, let's go to a much bigger startup that a lot of people have heard of called Rivian, who IPO'd at $78 years ago, went as high as $150 for their stock per share, and now they're at $12. So that's looking a little painful, too. And there's, again, questions, Ford had a big stake in them, and everyone thought, well, if they're aligned with Ford, they're good to go. And Ford has sold almost all of their shares. Their deal with Amazon to be, a big provider of Amazon vehicles. Now Amazon's talking to other people, too, about that. So I'm not sure what's going to happen to these EVs companies, but I feel like, and you know this, Alan, you've been in this industry long enough, if I had a dollar for every, we're going to change the world automotive startup from the past 15 years.
15, how about a dollars? 50. 50 years,
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's funny is I was driving, was it yesterday? Let me think about this. I think it was yesterday. I was driving with some guys and, working on a project, and we're driving along. I think we went to lunch or something. Anyway, we're driving along and a Rivian truck went by, and the guy in the passenger seat, I'm driving and he was in the passenger seat and we're in a crew cab truck. He says, "What is that?" And there it goes. Right. And I looked in my rearview mirror and I go, "Oh, that's a Rivian." He goes, "Oh my God, that is ugly." And I thought, oh, that's, that right there, I started laughing, because the truth, when somebody finally says the truth about, what they feel, it's kind of refreshing, because people are afraid to say the truth anymore, and especially, in our world, where the journalist world, if you say anything that's a little bit negative, well, then you get blackballed by some of the automakers and things. And, it's a bummer. So you have to dance around it very carefully. Now, if you represent a big giant brand like a Car and Driver, Road and Track, Motor Trend, or one of the, you can get away with a little more. But the smaller, not so prominent big magazines have to be careful. Now, I noticed that you, because you work for Kelley Blue Book and Cox Communications, which owns all those, Auto Trader and all the rest, and now you're working with iccars.com, yet you're still unafraid to speak the truth. What's going on there, Carl? How do you get away with this?
Well, I think you have to know that your following is going to rise or shrink based on how much faith they have in you. And, you know, if you feel like you're being a sellout and if that's coming across in what you say and do, then that's going to get picked up by observers and, and anyone else.
Yeah.
And thankfully, IC Cars, you know, they are a very capable company that is punching way above its weight for how much people work there versus how much noise they make in the industry and how much influence they have. Yeah. And they're not really living or dying on any one brand or even really the major automakers and all. They've got various other people that they work with. So they can kind of do what they want to do, and I can kind of do what I want to do.
Well, you know what?
Just the way I like it, Alan, in case you couldn't tell.
That's right. It doesn't hurt that you're on the... you're a juror and a board member of the North American Car and Truck of the Year and the World Car and Truck of the Year. They have to just kind of take it from you, Carl.
Love
that.
Well, and a lot of those guys know me well enough that it's like, I'm not going to go out there and say something.
No, you say the truth.
But I'm also not going to say things just to be nice.
That's
I'm going
right.
to say the reality.
Okay, so by the way, is there a story at iccars.com about EV startups dying off?
There isn't one about that specifically, but we do have one about longest lasting vehicles.
Talk about that. Longest lasting vehicles, latest IC car study. We'll be right back.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger. And the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary Direct Connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And joining us is the illustrious North American Car and Truck of the Year, juror and board member, World Car of the Year, something, I don't know what he does there, and executive editor, executive analyst for IC Cars. I don't really know what he does there either. iccars.com. But they have a study that he can talk about. That's the longest lasting cars. We did this, it seems like, about, I don't know what's it been. Probably it was sometime last year. So it's actually good to see which ones are making it into this, what, better chance of hitting 250,000 miles. Carl Brower, so my brother-in-law calls me and he goes, hey, check this truck out. It's only got 250,000 miles on it. I'm like, yeah, only doesn't go in front of 250,000. He goes, no, but it's a diesel. It's a diesel. I go, yeah, and replace that engine, you know, like $9,000. I go, what? He goes, they only want 4,500. And I go, plus $9,000 when the engine breaks. So, you know, so the question is, if you have a vehicle that you own currently and it's only got 100 and you're going, oh my gosh, got 100,000 miles, that may be like not even half life yet. I think that's the point here, right?
That is 100% the point. And really, you know, a couple things wrong with this study. First of all, IC Cars has been doing this for 10 years. So this is officially the 10th anniversary of the study and our 10th study doing this. And we used to always use 200,000 as the benchmark, but we have to go to 250 because cars are just getting more and more durable and they're lasting longer and longer.
Right.
And we changed our data science a little bit and got a little more sophisticated on how we are able to collect the data. So now instead of saying cars that we've observed at 200,000, we're able to say cars we predict the percentage chance of them getting to 250. And that's not 250 and then they die. It's 250 at least. Like they're going to make it to 250. They might make it to 425, but they're going to make it to 250.
Right.
So with all that said, we have the newest one. And yeah, first of all, if you own one of these cars and you're treating it properly, the top 23 cars on our list have a 20% or better chance of getting to 250,000 miles. So that's not bad if you can figure you got a 20% or better. And the top car,
that's great,
the Ford F-350 Super Duty, that car has a 49.1. Just call it a 50% chance if you have or buy a Ford F-350 350 Super Duty. Now, Alan, you and I know you're very familiar with these heavy duty trucks. That's exactly what they're designed for. So
right.
What your brother was just saying, you know, they're designed for long lasting duty. They often come with diesel engines, which last a long time. So not surprising when you look at this list, you see a lot of heavy duty trucks on it. But yeah, number one is that. Number two, though, is not another heavy duty truck. It's the Toyota Land Cruiser, which is also always at the top of this list. And wow. you and I both know again. And that still has a 47.9, almost a 50%, better than 45% chance. And then the Toyota Tundra, same thing, 47.9. And the Toyota Sequoia, 47.1. So there's three Toyotas right behind that F-350 Super Duty that have a 47% chance of getting to 250,000.
Is there more vehicles on this list? I would love to hear a few more.
Like there's 23. So number five is the F-250 Super Duty.
Uh-huh.
Now then it gets interesting. Number six is the Honda Pilot, and the Toyota Tacoma is number seven.
Wow.
And then you have the GMC Sierra 2500, the Chevrolet Silverado 2500, basically the same truck as you and I know, and the Toyota 4Runner rounds out the top 10.
Wow.
So you have a bunch of heavy duty trucks, a bunch of Toyotas, and then the Honda Pilot.
All right. So that we don't give it away, people can go and see this at iccars.com. I and S-E-E, like C's candy. iccars.com, only because I'm craving chocolate. Anyway, the whole list of vehicles that have the best chance. This one here says identifying cars with a 20% or more or better chance of hitting 250,000 miles. It'd be interesting to see if you own one of those cars and you're sitting at 100,000 wondering, you know, I should sell this car. It's got 100. You know, that's a thing of the past. It's like if your car at 100,000 miles, it was worn out. Not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the usable lifespan for most of the history of the automobile.
Yep.
You know, they didn't even have six-digit odometers in cars until the last like 20 or 30 years. It's like, why would you need to track this car past 100,000 miles? It ain't going to go past 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
Now we have, you know, now you have odometers that could track them up to a million, and you got cars 20% or better chance on our list of getting to a quarter million, 250,000 miles.
You know,
really good chance.
I'm happy to have this talked about on the show because this is an important thing. So, iccars.com, where you can find that study. Now, in the last minute and a half, Carl sold his Ford GT. I never thought he would, and he just did it out of the blue. What did you learn from owning that, you know, almost $1 million car?
I learned that I already knew I was a big driver of cars, and I've learned, just like I did with my old 74 Super Duty Trans Am that only had 16,000 miles when I got it after it was over 50 years old, is I'm a driver. I'm a car driver. And if I'm a driver, I have to be able to enjoy the car, not in the garage, not under wraps, not even really sitting at showrooms or sitting stationary and all. It has to be utilized on a regular basis. And the concern level, when you have either a low mileage car that every odometer mile you're putting on, like my old Super Duty Trans Am, or a new car where all you need is a texting teen at an intersection or something else to T-bone you, and you have massive financial losses as a result. It was hard to enjoy that. And it's funny because I think I somehow kind of shut that out of my head for the first 4 years and 10,000 miles that I put on the car, far more than most of those cars are ever going to see, sadly.
Right.
But I started to really realize, it's like, you know, I've had a lot of fun in this car. It's like I'm at the roulette table and I'm up. Do I want to keep rolling spinning the wheel, or do I want to walk away a winner?
You know what? You walked away a winner. Good for you. Carl Brower is with iccars.com, longtime friend, started his career a long time ago with Hot Rod Magazine. He's a real hot rodder. I know I probably got that wrong, but it works for me, Carl.
It's all true. Right. You said it right. It's
okay.
All true.
I'm just playing. All right, we've got another half an hour to go. Carl, thank you, buddy.
Great being on with you, Alan.
It's always fun. We'll be right back, everybody.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the clutter factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the death of the salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. homes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, joining us right now is my buddy, longtime friend, Ed Justice Jr., president and CEO of Justice Brothers Incorporated, justicebrothers.com on the web. You can find him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of different kinds of Ed Justice Jr., Justice Bros, Inc., Leica Justice, because he's also a photographer. But justicebrothers.com is the best place. America's brand for quality. Ed, so I don't know if you heard us talking about some of the stuff we were talking about on the phone there. And was it you? So one of my friends was telling me that they were going to get a Rivian. Was that you?
Yeah. Hey, that's a funny joke. Yeah. Hey, no, you know what? Yeah, you have been talking about a lot of interesting stuff. Really, I mean, so much that if you take everything you're talking about and say, hey, let's just let's take the trash can or let's take everything, throw it in the trash can and throw gasoline and light it on fire and everything will be okay. You know, elimination of AM radio. I mean, come on, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I know.
I mean, it's like tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to find out the garage door openers have been outlawed. And you need to open your garage door now, you know, back
manually
like when I was a kid.
Right.
And I mean, it's like, what next?
You know what's funny?
What next? What are you going to tell me I have to change? I mean, it's like it's daily and it's really wearing people out and they're getting tired of it. And I think you're going to see it in the upcoming elections.
Oh, for sure. You know, you talk about this garage door thing and that was a joke, of course, but my garage door clicker, for some reason, just decided to, you know, give up the ghost. And I'm like, I'm sitting there clicking, clicking, click, 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 and the door's not opening. And I'm like, well, you darn thing, click, click, click. And I'm like, well, I'm stuck in here now because I'm sitting there looking at it going, what am I supposed to do? I can't open the garage door by myself. You know, it's like, it just for a moment, my brain was trapped in the parallel universe of helplessness. And then I pulled a little string, which released the garage door opener thing. And I just lifted the garage door and I thought, boy, that was an odd moment in time when my brain said, you're stuck. What are you going to do? You're going to die. You know, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, look. I mean, the Wall Street Journal this week had a interesting piece in the opinion page that was basically pointed at Lordstown Motors.
Right.
Because, you know, back in 2019, President Trump berated GM CEO Mary Barra for shutting down a Chevy Cruze plant in Lordstown, Ohio. Mm. So Barra, she went along and she gave a $40 million loan to Lordstown to buy and retrofit the plant. Well, you know, as of February of this year, they only have built 31 cars.
Wow.
And that's from 2019.
Right.
Okay. I mean, 31 cars. I have people that build custom cars that have built more than 31 cars in that period of time.
And, that's right.
And they're not raising hundreds of millions of dollars in investor money. Now, listen to this. This is in this Wall Street Journal article. And is any of this shocking to me? No.
Yeah.
No. Because people are buying a dream. They're buying BS. They're buying a really overhyped sales pitch. Here's what you've got. EV stocks and other EV startups have crashed from their pandemic highs.
Right.
Okay, Canoe, down 96%.
Wait a minute, what the heck is Canoe?
It's one that's out there, my friend. Okay,
oh my
I'm not familiar with it either. But you know what? Here's the thing. You don't know it. I don't know it. We're in the automotive world. I guarantee if we did the research, they probably raised $100 million maybe.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Nikola, down 99%. Mm. Faraday Future Intelligent Electric. Now, you know that one.
I do know
down 99%.
Oh!
Rivian, down 90%. Lucid, down 87%.
Wow.
Fisker, down 81%.
Wow.
Okay,
wow.
So here's the thing.
Brian Moody was right. He was telling me some of the same similar things about, you know, that stuff. Or no, it was Carl Brower. That's who it was, Carl Brower. You know, but here's the thing. You found it, obviously, but this is something we should be hearing about on television. It should be a big deal because as they keep trying to shove electric cars down our throat, and yet the folks that are trying to be pioneers in this stuff, you know, the Fiskers and the Lucids and the Rivians and those guys are dying on the vine right now.
Well, here's what people need to realize. And GM and Ford and Dodge and Volkswagen meaning Porsche, Bentley, Lamborghini, you know, their roles.
Yeah.
Bentley is BMW, all these major car companies, Toyota. Toyota hadn't bought into it as much. Honda, Acura, gosh, Kia, Hyundai. Okay, I've named most of the big ones. They're being forced to go down this road of EVs and create products that you've already heard on your broadcast that most people are not interested in buying.
That's right.
And so what's the bottom line here? Well, the bottom line to a lot of people is that if you put a car company or two out of business for a certain group, that's a win. That's
yeah.
a win.
Yeah.
Okay, we got rid of that car company. We got rid of this car company. You know, there is an extreme feeling by some people that if you eliminate man off the face of the earth, that really solves the environmental crisis. And I know it's crazy. I know it's laughable.
Yeah.
But you know what? I have met people.
Yeah.
I have met people that believe that the earth will never survive with man on it.
Yeah.
And so the point is, well, if you eliminate man, then what's the point about Earth's survival?
Right. We won't be here to see it anyway, right?
Look, the free market should always regulate all this stuff.
Yep.
I mean, you should not have to subsidize a product if it's a product that is good, which means if it's good, then people will want to buy it. Okay?
Yep.
Obviously, people don't seem to think EVs are good, and consequently, they don't want to buy it. So therefore, we have subsidies and incentives and everything else to try and convince people to buy the product. Well, when a product is good, you don't have to do that.
That's right.
And government is not good in business. I'll give you a case in point. A few years ago, state of California wanted to outlaw drive-thrus. I mean, I talked about it when I was hosting Road and Tracks radio show.
Right.
And they also wanted to limit how far you could drive to work each way. Now, neither of those things went through, thank God.
Thank God.
But just imagine if they had outlawed drive-thrus, and then we were shut down, which we all know now, most people are recognizing it was a mistake, the economic effects of the shutdown will be around for probably another decade at least.
Right.
But just imagine if you had no drive-thrus, and when we were shut down, a lot of the food that people bought, they wouldn't have been able to get because
right.
a lot of people were going through drive-thrus to get food.
You know what? Good Lord. We just need some new people in the in the White House. Oh, I didn't say it, but I did. Okay, let's take a break. It is The Drive. Ed Justice Jr. and I will be right back. Stay with us.
You took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And to charge the people a dollar and I have to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
This message comes to you from our sponsor, Subaru, celebrating the 16th annual Subaru Share the Love event, going on now through January 2nd. For every new Subaru purchased or leased during the event, Subaru will donate a minimum of $300 to charities like the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. To learn more, go to Subaru.com/share. Subaru, more than a car company.
Well, it is The Drive all across America. Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. At least not yet. The new Demon 170 going to be coming out soon. They have people fighting over them. Unbelievable. Ed Justice Jr. joining me. Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. Justice Brothers, Inc. on the web. You can find it, justicebrothers.com. Ed Justice, you know, you were talking about, and Carl talked about it too here a little bit ago, about Rivian. If their stock went to 150, it came out at, what was it, 78? When I wrote it down, hold on, I wrote it down. Came out at $78 when the IPO happened. And it was at briefly at $150 today or whatever, you know, it depends on what day you look, but it was $12 earlier this week. And I heard you mentioned something about their stock value at one point was what, and what is it today roughly for Rivian?
Well, yeah, in November 2021, when it debuted to the public, it was $153.3 billion market capitalization. Now, today, they're worth less than $12 billion. Now, that's less than a tenth.
Right.
That's less. That's more than a 90% drop. Mm. Okay, you know, we're talking about $140 billion
right.
That's vapor.
Yeah. Right.
$140 billion, not $1
billion. Yeah.
140 of those billions.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
You know, we talked about...
There was a politician in Washington by the name of Everett Dirksen.
Yeah.
And he was an outspoken guy, and he said one of the all-time great quotes when they pass all these very big spending bills, and he said, you know, a billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon it starts to add up.
Right. And we talked about the Demon, I did at least for a moment, of which I'm in line to get one. And the Dodge Demon 170, 1,025 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 1.66 seconds, which is just, oh, that's just unbelievable. It's a muscle car. So remember Clint Eastwood, or I think it was Clint Eastwood, or who was it? Maybe it wasn't Clint Eastwood. He said, you know, you can have my gun when you take it out of my cold, dead hands, right? That's kind of,
right.
That's Dodge building this car when everybody is doing all this electric stuff. And I'm sure they're going to have to, too. We already know that's coming. But they build the biggest, baddest muscle car in the history of the auto manufacturing world because it pops a wheelie. It's banned by the NHRA again. From the factory, you can get a parachute for it to take it to the racetrack. It's that fast. And so I love that they're doing that. Tim Kuniskis leading that that charge. But, you know, what does the future hold if it keeps going the way it is, to your point that you were making throughout the whole last segment? What does it matter? Well, if we don't enjoy life, isn't the pursuit of happiness part of the American dream? I mean, it's got to be. And when they take away our ability to find happiness in silly things like our cars, which is a huge hobby industry, I don't know. What does it all matter at some point?
Well, there's also another side to this, too, and that is that hybrids actually have a better carbon footprint than all EV,
yeah,
or all internal combustion engine.
Right.
And I suggest that any of your listeners, if they want to learn more about that, they go on over to YouTube and search for a TED Talk video that is titled the future is eclectic, not electric, but eclectic.
I love that.
And watch the guy's presentation. Again, it's a TED Talk, and if you know anything about TED Talks.
Yeah, they're great. They're like 17 minutes or 18 minutes or something, yeah.
Yeah, and he will show you if the car companies, and this is where Toyota comes in. Toyota gets it. And, but boy, they're being beat down by, you know, whatever groups you want to say for not going along with the
going
all
along
EV
to get
thing.
Along. That's no, they're right. they're putting up a stink. And by the way, I got to take a break. I heard the CEO was fired that said, you know, yeah, we're not going to buy into this all the way, this electric car thing. And I said that to a friend and they go, oh, yeah, he got fired for that. Basically, we'll take a break. I don't know if that's true, but man. You stand up, the nail that sticks up gets hammered down. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners. 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the clutter factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the death of the salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
The show is brought to you in part by Subaru Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Also in part by Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. And we've got the CEO, my buddy, Ed Justice Jr., automotive journalist, photographer, award-winning journalist. And he and I have been working together on radio for, gosh, 25 years or so. But Ed, I have a question for you, Ed. Why aren't you at the Miami F1 race this weekend? What in the heck is going on?
You know, it'll be crowded, but apparently not as crowded as you would think. Because if you go on their website,
that's right not now, why, by the way. That's not why. But go ahead. Go ahead.
If you go on their website right now, there are 8 grandstands that you can buy tickets in.
Yeah.
Okay. Only one of those grandstands is sold out. Now, when I say grandstands, I'm talking about not one little grandstand. Like if you look at the South Beach grandstand, it's multiple grandstands that's called South Beach grandstand. So 7 of the 8 locations have seats available. Now that goes contrary to what a lot of people think, that you know, you just can't get a ticket to an F1 race. Well, see, here's the reality. Okay, so some of these seats, to go to the F1 race, you have to buy all 3 days. So you're going to be going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can't buy just Sunday. You can't buy just Saturday. You can't buy just Friday for, say, like practice.
Right.
And so you got to step up. And the cheapest that I found were $910 for 3 days. And then I found others that were $1,560. So that's $500 a day. Plus, food, you know that's not going to be
right,
like eating outside the track. So it's a major commitment. And look, I will tell you, in my experience in auto racing over the years, some of the most passionate fans, and this goes true for really all sports for the most part, football and baseball for sure, are not people that have a lot of extra cash laying around. Okay, but it's their passion, you know. It's sort of like a sports addiction, you might say.
Oh yeah,
and you know, I mean, I've seen this when I used to sell collectibles for big name drivers. You see where the stuff is being shipped, and it's not being shipped into Beverly Hills, okay?
Right.
Now, you know, when you have prices at an event like this that are Beverly Hills prices,
right,
and you know the core fan is not the Beverly Hills fan, I don't know. It just doesn't, match.
Well, here's the thing. This is nothing. These prices are nothing compared to Las Vegas. I'm hearing $8,000 for the tickets. So
yeah, we'll see how it works out. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, well,
you know, there's an asking price.
Yeah,
and then there's whether people are going to pay it or not. And you know, that's what the open market's all about.
Right.
Again, going back to what we were talking about with EVs and all that.
Right.
Look at it. I see no problem in anybody pricing their product at a particular price, because the market will tell them very quickly whether they've got it too high, too low, just right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if it's too high, I mean, you know, this weekend when we're watching the TV, we will be able to see, unless they keep the cameras very tight to not show holes in the grandstands,
right,
if they sold the tickets or not.
All right. Now, here's the thing,
though. I
hope
they do.
Yeah. You know, listen, I don't have a dog in the fight, so if they sell them or not, I don't care. I mean, it's motorsports racing. It's not, to me, I don't care about how many tickets they sell. It's the race. So, to this point, and you just made it, when we're watching the race on TV, and the TV coverage is phenomenal these days, right? You've got drones, you've got all these crazy ways of in-car cameras and all this stuff. You could throw one hell of a party at your house for that much money. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what a lot of people are going to do. I can't imagine. Is it really worth it to go to Miami or Vegas to deal with all the, like you said, all the people that, maybe aren't there? I guess time will tell, won't it? Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Well, I kind of want to go to the Las Vegas one, but I'm going to have to figure out a way with one of the media brands we work with, Road and Track Car and Driver or something. But anyway, Ed Justice, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Now I know why you're not in Miami this weekend for the F1 race.
Hey, I will be watching it on TV.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, me too, as a matter of fact. I'm going to see what's going on right now. That's it for us. JusticeBrothers.com. You can find Ed. All his information is there. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on The Drive.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary Direct Connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.